Time for what?
Time for what?
Experience in college.
Time for reinforcement.
Time for liftoff.
Where nothing is impossible unless you think it is impossible.
College scholarship.
Yes.
Mom.
College ran by real fast.
You hung in with the best college.
Touchdown!
First time for everything.
Well, what are you waiting for?
Let's do this thing.
Genius, let's do this thing!
Welcome everyone to the show. Today we're going to talk about vocabulary words. Yes, we're going to build up your college vocabulary because there's so many out there. We can't do it all, but we are going to do some key, really important ones that through the decades, I always have students go, I don't know what that is. I never heard of that. We're going to go and do that right now. So, let's start with the show. So, Aaron Michael, what's one of the words on this vocabulary list that we're going to go over?
Ambushing.
I think that's admissions directive. So admissions directive is basically every year a college will have a directive that they don't advertise what type of students they're looking for. It could be they need to increase certain students for a major or gender. It could be a wide variety of variables that you won't know. So if you have a classmate that gets accepted one year and you have identical profile, it changes every year. Okay, Aaron Michael, so we're gonna cross that off. So that's admissions directive. And you can always ask an admissions rep, maybe they'll tell you. What's the next one?
Early decision.
Yeah, early decision. So we're going to talk about early decisions, a binding agreement saying that, hey, if you accept me, I'm going to sign this contract and I will go there. I'm not going to wait for any other schools. I have to go. The only way I could break that contract is I don't have the financial resources to pay for it. There's also early action where you find out early. There's also restrictive early action. There's a few colleges have that where you could only apply to one early school that's private, but you're not binded to going over there. And there's priority, like priority, you apply, you get into the honors program, priority for a scholarship. So check with each college because they're all different.
This next one is called CSS profile. And what is it, Mom?
It is a financial aid form that over 400 colleges require. It's an additional financial aid form. So it's a must. And if you have a blended family, they will ask for your non-custodial parent. What's that? That is if your parents have never been married or got divorced. Basically, it's that other parent that's not your primary caregiver. And if you don't have that non-custodial parent information, your school can send a documentation saying that you do not have access to information from them. Okay, what's next?
And next of all, what is retention?
Retention, a lot of times they talk about retention, meaning who's coming back. It's a retention rate. You could go to any online, like the government has this information on College Scorecard, where I call it the happiness factor. How many freshmen, college-bound students come back to the school? So maybe, you know, some people don't come back because financial reasons or the school didn't wasn't like what they thought it was, or academically they did well. So retention rate is a very important rate to look at, just as well as graduation rate as well.
And also, what is the next one? Associate degree. What is that one too, Mama?
So associate degree is a degree that you could get from many of the community colleges. Just give you an example for one state, California has 116. So there's a lot of great profession. Let's say you want to be working in the medical field, but you're not really want to make good money, but you don't want to be in the field that long. You get an associate degree as a respiratory therapist. So you'll get some general ed classes. So general ed classes are basic classes that you would take. Think about your high school classes, but there'd just be a lot more choices. And then you have it towards that degree, but it won't be as much as an in-depth as a major degree. So after high school, you could get a certificate from Associate Community College. And then after that, you get an associate degree. And then the next one, which is on your list, is a bachelor's degree. So a bachelor's degree,
ooh.
Yeah, so the higher your degree, the more money you would make. Also noting, depending on your skills and your experiences. So a bachelor's degree is what traditional four-year schools do offer you. And there are some, like, there's a school in Chicago, it's a Jesuit school over there, Loyola University in Chicago, who offer an associate degree and bachelor's degree. So they're some schools are becoming more flexible, so associate degrees don't have to be only for community colleges. But a bachelor's degree could be a bachelor's degree in science, so it's going to be more focused on the scientific. And a bachelor's degree of arts would be more liberal, meaning have more depth in, like, the arts, humanities, science. So it's a little bit of everything. You know, that's where a lot of people think liberal arts is not, you can't get a bachelor's of science. Wrong. You definitely can get that. And there's also one that is BFA, Bachelor's of Fine Arts. So for those, right? So if you wanted to be, let's say, stage crew, some of them would, most of your classes would be focusing in the art arena.
And it's also, next one is called Economy Division.
Some people who feel they're economically disadvantaged. Again, if you go on that college scorecard, what I was talking about earlier, when you look at the diversity of a university, a lot of people just think of, you know, ethnicity, but they're also is one for gender, and also the government collects is one of who gets what's called Pell Grants. Pell Grants are targeted for families who meet the federal guidelines for low income. So notice it's federal averages, not for your state or your Bay Area. So you, if you want to have really diverse group of people with backgrounds or ideas, that's one area that you could check out. And again, it's on College Scorecard.
Hey, Mama, what is the EOP? I'm just saying, like, I'm very, like, really want to know.
You really want to know, because in a lot of times you'll see EOP pop up in a lot of California schools, California public schools, like UCs and Cal States. So that makes about 32 of them who offer the Educational Opportunity Program. When you apply to UC, there's a small statement that you could say, like, hey, do you want to get these services? A lot of times you get extra advising, other support, and basically it's targeted for those who are economically disadvantaged. So it gives them that extra support that some other people who may have more resources don't have. Oh my God, we have so many people, even the phone's ringing off the hook. Okay, so let's get through this. What else is another vocabulary word on your list?
The fast food.
You know, that is the one vocabulary word most people don't know how to say. So FAFSA. So FAFSA. FAFSA, the free application for student aid. The emphasis is free. So whether you're applying to a community college, a public school, a private school, and the difference between a public and a public school is funded by the state. So that's why if you, let's say, apply to University of Oregon, you're not going to get much state aid. And federal aids, most of that free money is for low-income families. Otherwise, there's just loans. But if you go to a private school, they have their own private funds, their own endowment. So sometimes a private school, depending which one and depending how your application is, will give you more free money. So it could end up being cheaper. But the one way you could find out how much financial aid you're going to get is applying for the free application for federal student aid. Again, it is, what is that word again? Do you remember?
Let's see.
It's FAFSA. So everyone has to apply. It opens up October 1st of your senior year. Put a ringer. You need to apply for it every year if you want financial aid every year. And if you're worried about financial aid and finding out last minute, I would too. We have other podcasts talking about this, about financial aid. Just go ahead and type in net price calculator, the name of the school, and they are legally bounded to have a calculator for you so you could find out, even if you're a kid. How old are you, Aaron Michael?
10.
You're 10 years old. So even if your kid is 10, you're like, how much is college going to give me if I just play pretend? You could even do it ahead of time. That may be a little bit too early, but it's a good way to figure out what money is out there and how much money you need to pay out there.
Our next one's gonna be full-time students.
Yeah, so you have three older siblings. You have two siblings, your brother and your sister, who are at different colleges, who are full-time. That means they take 12 units or more. That's what defines a full-time student. Now, your other brother, because he's working, is a part-time student. So that's anything 11 units or less. So that's something that's important to know. You know, of course, if you go part-time, that takes a little bit longer. Full-time goes a lot faster. Sometimes some students, if they're smart, they could do what's called double dip. They maybe use AP scores to get college credit. They have a class that counts for a general ed and their major. We have some great students who basically graduate in college in 3 years instead of four. That saves a lot of money.
This one is going to be lower division.
Yeah, so a lot of times lower division classes are four-year major, and these are the introductory classes. So a lot of times they won't have prerequisites unless you're talking about like a math course, you have to be placed in one, or sometimes in English or language. So for example, Psych 101, right? Introduction to Psychology would be a lower division course. But let's just say maybe you're gonna take developmental psych or abnormal psychology, that may be more advanced, or research in psychology. Lower divisions are more of those beginning ones. That's why it's kind of nice for some students who are undecided to maybe take one or two lower division classes, maybe the summer or during the school year, to kind of test out, hey, is this a major that I want to make a career out of or not? And what that leads to is majors. So majors is what you're going to apply to. So we're going to talk, so majors is the degree that you'll get through your lower and upper division courses. So that's where your bachelor's degree is gonna be in. Now, sometimes students are like, oh, can I get a double major? Yes, but you have to be in college first to apply. You don't do that as a senior. And you can also ask when you're in college, not when you're applying, a minor. Think of a minor as some classes in an area. So for example, I took, I have a minor in world religions. So I just took about 10 units of classes, each class, or excuse me, not 10, 12 units. And basically each class usually is 3 units. That's about, if it's a semester school, which is most high schools are set up that way, semester school, you know, we're talking about 3 hours of lecture per week. That means times two, you got about like 6 to 10 hours of homework independently. If you're in a quarter system, those units are a lot higher because you meet with them a lot more frequently, right? So a lot of the UC schools, for example, in California are on a quarter system. Stanford is on a quarter system as well. So if you like things that are slow pace, semester schools are really important. If you like things to be quick and you like more variety, quarter system. So a lot of times students don't ask about that. That's really important depending what type of student you are. All right, Aaron Michael, we only have 4 more vocabulary words that are most asked.
I think you mean 3.
Well, we'll find out. Let's see. What's the next one?
The master degree.
Kind of sounds like Masters of the Universe, right? For those of you who don't know, it's a cartoon show, He-Man, She-Ra. Let's focus. So master's degree, after you obtain your bachelor's degree, you can get a master's degree. You don't have to stay at the same school. We had a beautiful student who went to John Carroll University, a Jesuit school in Ohio, nice and small, very supportive, and then went to get her master's degree at Georgetown University, another Jesuit school in DC, hecka hard to get into, and done amazing research. So your studies doesn't end there. Now, it depends on your profession, whether you need it or you want it. A lot of engineering majors tend to just only need a bachelor's degree and that's it. If you are going into psychology, pretty much it's needed if you're going in that profession to get a master's degree. There are a few schools that have special agreements where you could get a combo, a bachelor's and master's, very competitive to get into. St. Louis University, Missouri has one where you actually get accepted to medical school, which is another graduate program. It's another way of saying where you can obtain higher degree levels. And then there's some that have what's called a 3-2 program, which is very popular with engineering majors, where, for example, if you go to a school, you stay for 2 years in physics, you could go to school like Columbia University or Washington University in St. Louis, two outstanding, very competitive engineering programs, and then you get two bachelor's degrees. Very hard to do because the rigor of the work, but there are those opportunities that are out there. Now, Aaron Michael, do you know you have a transcript?
Nope.
Yeah, so a transcript is a record of your performance in the classes you take. So if you're applying to high school, they'll need a transcript from your previous school. And if you are applying to college, any classes you've taken at any of the high schools, maybe you did concurrent enrollment. If you haven't heard about that, concurrent enrollment is where you could take college credit while being a high school student. Some high schools have dual enrollment where you take one high school class and that also counts for the high school and the college. So those are records. That's a must. That's the number one thing that colleges, even you applying to high school, is the number one factor they'll look at to accepting you. See what type of classes you've taken, what letter grade that you earned, and then what school did you come from? Because every school has a different profile.
And our next one's going to be tuition that I had no idea what's going to be, but I think, you know.
Oh, yeah, I know, and your dad knows because we pay for your tuition for your school. So tuition is the cost of taking the classes. The problem is a lot of times people forget that when you go to college, then there's added fees. So, for example, Aaron Michael, your older siblings will have housing dorm fees that could be as high as $15,000 to $20,000. There's also, they also call it room and board sometimes because you put the food that the housing provides. Then there's medical fees. So one of your siblings go to college out of state. Do you know that we had to pay extra money for their insurance? Yeah, so those are a lot of extra fees, associate fees, like for clubs and student activities. So take advantage of the rec center because you are paying for it. So tuition is one thing, and that's why doing that net price calculator is really important, because if you want to know the whole cost without financial aid, it's called the COA, the cost of attendance. So that's what you really want to know. So a lot of out-of-state students, if they apply to University of Oregon, it's almost $60,000, right? Because of the out-of-state tuition. So another school that's part of the WUI program, again, more information about that is on our podcast. WUI is the Western Undergraduate Exchange, where you get a discount of applying to certain out-of-state public schools, but each one is different. Oregon State University is going to be a lot different than Washington State University. So those are great questions to ask. Again, you'll get a discount, but you won't get that free federal grant money, but you could always get loans, because you're paying it back.
And the final one is work study.
Yeah, so your dad and I, when we went to college, we didn't do work study because we didn't know about it. Your dad was fortunate to get a special grant for his school, which is awesome. For me, I just worked in the private sector to pay for my school. And it was hard. Did you know sometimes I had tests at 8 o'clock in the morning and I worked till 2 o'clock in the morning at my other job? I worked at a grocery store. Did you know that?
No, but I'll be okay.
You think that's okay? It was
I stayed up to 4 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, so again, now everyone knows that I'm not the ideal parent. That's okay. We all just do our best here. One of the things is that there's been research is the best way to make money and be successful in college and stay in college and graduate your degree is doing a work study. So a lot of people that I worked with at the grocery store, a lot of them didn't finish school because they were making so much money in the private sector. It was so hard. They said, I'm just going to take a break from college. Do you think they went back?
No.
A lot of them didn't go back. And a lot of them weren't happy. I mean, if they were happy at their job, that's fine. But they weren't. But work study allows you to apply for jobs at the school. And even if you're getting minimum wage, it's still some money. It's a way to network and connect. I had a student who went to a super small private school, and she was previously at a big public school, and it was so hard for her transition. But because of her work study, she had a great connection with her professor. She made some great friends. This is someone who was more on the shy side. And they hooked her up for a job with George Lucas at Lucas Studios. Yeah, it's all about networking, baby. All about networking. So important. So work study has a great graduation rate. Go to the financial aid office. Even if you're not offered financial aid, go to the job postings and see. It's a lot more benefits, because if you have a big test, you could go to the professor or supervisor, say, hey, can I stay for the test? They know college is your number one priority, not that job, whether it be at a grocery store or Chipotle or Target, all good, worthy jobs. I mean, my job helped me to get my undergrad, graduate school, but it was so hard. And having fun is really important.
Yes.
Right? It's about work hard and play hard, right? In a nice, healthy, fun way. Aaron Michael, thanks for coming back to the show and go over these really complex vocabulary words for college admissions.
Yes, and I got one more word.
Go for it.
Listen to the Fonseca, Mommy Misha, the rest of them, no Jose. And make sure to get your booster.
Oh, yeah. Vaccinations, boosters, so important. Keep up there. Stay safe. And until next time.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. We really appreciate you taking the time out of your precious day to listen to us. So subscribe so that you could download this podcast wherever you may be. We're on so many different streaming devices, but also you can find out more information about College for All at college4all.com. We're also on Twitter at collegeforall.amv, Instagram collegeforall.amv, and more to come. Thank you and have an amazing day.